On Before the Bestseller, we talk with our favorite authors about the books they wrote and the stories behind how those books made it big. I'm your host, Alex Straffy, and it's an absolute pleasure to have you here today. Welcome back, Laura Briggs, soon to be Dr. Laura Briggs, here in a couple months. Excited to start calling you Dr. Laura within our company. And, you know, you have launched a lot of different books, traditional, self-published, TED Talks. There was a lot for us to dive into here. So thank you for being willing to come back on and talk all about how you do book marketing.
Yeah, I'm excited to chat about it. It's one of my favorite things.
How do you get a TEDx talk and what does it do for you?
Oh my gosh. It's a lot of work to get one. I am upfront about that. At this point, I have done three and I was rejected over 90 times, somewhere between 90 and 100. In fact, I had almost given up when I was pitching all of these TEDx talks because I just kept getting rejection after rejection. And right when I was ready to give up, the first offer came through. And then the day that I delivered my first TEDx talk, I got invited to come down to Georgia Tech and give the second one. So just be persistent. I will say when you pitch a TEDx talk, you need to know your reason why, and it's not for you to promote your book, for you to promote your business, whatever. You need to come in with a unique idea that you don't think anyone else is talking about. So when I pitched my first one, I was like, I see freelancers all around me. Freelancing has transformed my life and business. Why does no one talk about this as a legitimate way to make a living? Like, we never talk about this to high school and college students. Like, it's never treated as a viable thing. It's treated as like, well, if your life falls apart, like you can freelance for a couple months, not as like, this is an actual path to entrepreneurship. So that's the method that I went in with it. And you want to show that you're a good speaker. That can help in your application by talking about hosting a podcast, being part of virtual summits, you know, being on other people's podcasts. I really use that heavily to be like, hey, I'm a good speaker. I'm a freelancer. I'm really good at breaking down projects. I know I have it in me to write a talk. I'll be receptive to feedback because as a writer, everyone rips apart my writing and I'm cool with it. And I have the skills to memorize it. So you want to think about what makes yours different. Do not just be like, I want to do a TEDx talk about rejection, because it's like, yeah, there's already 50 TEDx talks about rejection. Why is yours different? Why are you going to go against what everyone else has said? And what's going to be unique and different about your personal perspective? So it also does need to be something that's unique and personal to you.
Three things I heard there, persistence 90 to 100 times, which is insane. Making it into a really good question. Even when you ask that, you're like, why does no one talk about it? It's like that drew me in. And, you know, as opposed to just saying, you know, hey, you can make a great, you know, how to make a great business, how to make a great living, you know, being a freelancer. Instead, you turned it into this, like, why is no one talking about it? So it's kind of like a beautiful pitch there. And then the third thing is that you pitched your skill set that was actually going to make you such a good speaker as well. So those are three really great things there. What did it do for you? Is it worth people going after getting a TEDx talk? Does it move books? How do you feel about that?
Yeah, I think, like, first of all, you don't get paid to do a TEDx talk, which is a question people ask me all the time. And then their next question is like, well, why would you do one? It is a huge credibility booster because it is so hard to get one. And it also so immediately positions you as an authority in your field. Like when we sold my first book to my publisher, which is the publishing house behind Entrepreneur Magazine, I told them, I said, I'm going to get a TEDx talk. This is one of the things I'm going to commit to in marketing my book. So it was a big tool to get the word out there about it and to say, like, Laura is the expert on freelancing. Like, she is the person you want to hear talk about freelancing. And oh, what a coincidence. My books are about freelancing, right? It all ties together. It was funny because when I did my first one, this is a tip I have for anyone who does one, put it in your email signature immediately. You will be amazed at how many people will go, hey, I watched your TEDx talk. And one of my clients wrote me back and I was like, he said, you did a TEDx talk. I guess I have to pay you more now. And I was like, I didn't even consider this, but maybe this is such a thing that people recognize. It's like getting a degree or something where they're like, I'm going to have to pay this person more because they're an expert. I do think that it helps sell books because it's part of this like bigger ecosystem. Like, it's not as easy to track exactly how many books were sold from that. But if someone watches my talk called The Future is Freelancing and they're interested in the way I talk and the way I frame ideas, there's a solid chance they're going to look me up on Amazon to buy one of my my book. So it also helps discourage people who are not a good fit for you. Like I even see to this day, sometimes the comments on my freelance TEDx talks are like people who don't believe that like the freelance economy is real, or they think of it as like only Uber and DoorDash. So it's like people getting taken advantage of. They weren't going to be my readers anyways, right? So they've opted out on their own of being part of my ecosystem. And that's cool for me because it's like, I just want to attract the right people who believe in what's possible with what I'm talking about. So I do think it can really help. And I think it helps you get bigger speaking gigs. So while that one may not be paid, after I had done my first two, Upwork, the biggest freelance job board site in the world, called me and said, "We'd like to fly you to San Francisco to speak at our corporate kickoff. We will pay for everything." They gifted me the AirPods I still use to this day. So it's like all these other doors opened because of that thing, right? So I do think that it's less obvious to see the connections, but I do think there's been plenty of times that though that having that on my resume has helped.
That's really helpful because, yeah, as you know, we have a lot of authors that, wrote their books to be a public speaker. And if I mean, that's huge. Upwork bringing you in, that's a big name that can lead to more and more public speaking. And so, starting off with that TED talk, giving you that credential of being a TEDx talker, that's something we can recommend is like, go. It's going to take you 90 to 100 times applying,
It
but
might.
go back and listen to the beginning of this episode again if you've now put yourself in that bucket. You do have a book out with Entrepreneur, which is huge, right? That's a pretty big name. How did that publishing deal come about? Were you a self-published author first? Were you a traditionally published author first? Tell us a little bit more about your publishing journey and how it's going between self-publishing and traditional publishing.
So I have a friend, her name is Tammy Charles. She is actually a children's and YA book writer. And she was a teacher too. And I watched her journey to break into this world. And I said, "What tips do you have for me?" This was 2017. And she said, "You're in Indiana. You're really near this Midwest Writers Workshop. You need to go." She's like, "Just go and pitch an agent. They bring agents every year." I was like, "I don't even have a book idea." She was like, "Just do it." She's like, "This is going to be the worst thing you have to do in your publishing career, but get it over with." So I came up with this idea for like a YA book. I pitched it to an agent who ripped me to shreds. Like I didn't cry, but it was close, leaving the room, how hard that was. Doing that experience made me realize I need to go nonfiction first. So I left that and I was like, "I'm coming back to this conference next year with an agent." Like that was the goal that I set for myself. So I hired someone to help me write my book proposal because I had no idea how to do that. That was the book proposal for six-figure freelancer. So what happened next is definitely a testament to one of my biggest pieces of advice in publishing: be adaptable and flexible to the journey. Don't let yourself get screwed or taken advantage of. But my agent went out and pitched all these different publishers. It was so disheartening to see some of these rejections. Someone even said that freelancing was like a fad. I was like, "Oh my God, we're never going to sell this book. Like, no one in traditional publishing believes in this concept." My agent came back to me and said, "Hey, Entrepreneur is interested in you, but they have this other book they need written first. And it's got to fit a very particular format because it's part of their bigger series." So they have all these books that are like, "Start your own dog walking business, start your own Etsy business." And they're like, they want to send you a copy of the Start Your Own Freelancing Business. And they want you to write a modern version of it. And if that goes to in six-figure freelancer. And I was like, "Well, this isn't what I envisioned as like my entry into publishing." But I got the copy of the old book. The first advice was about faxing companies to get clients. And I was like, "Yeah, this desperately needs to be rewritten." So I said, "All right." And my agent and I came up with this plan of like how we would crush the marketing on this how to start your own freelance writing business. And so that book came out a year later. And my agent immediately was like, "Send me your next book proposal now." She's like, "We need to strike while the iron is hot." So she actually sold that. And then my fifth book, Content is King, together in a two-book deal to Entrepreneur. And then my fourth book, I sold without my agent to a niche military publisher because that one's called Remote Work for Military Spouses and is obviously like a very target audience. So my journey didn't look like what I thought it was going to, but in hindsight, I learned all of my lessons and my biggest mistakes with my first book, which is why I'm still so proud of Six Figure Freelancer to this day, because I think I set myself up for better success with that book, the one that I really wanted to write, by learning the ropes with this other book that was like a little bit more outlined for me to create.
When's the young adult book coming out?
I need to go back to it. Like it was so rough, that experience. But I encourage everybody to do something like that. Like something that scares you, where you have a very high chance of being rejected, like applying for a TEDx talk. That's another one, because if you stick with it, you're going to get some good feedback and you're going to figure out, like, I'm really glad I went nonfiction first. And now I'm like making my foray into fiction. But now I know so much about launching and marketing a book that I feel like that's going to be so easy to do with fiction, because it's like what I've done for all these other ones already.
We talked a bit about this in your last, in our last episode together, you know, hiring a freelancer to help you as the author. When do you decide that you need one, and where should you start, and how do you find one?
Yeah, start at least 6 months before your book launch. When I was a freelancer doing like book launch management myself for other authors, the most frustrating thing for me was when someone would be like, yeah, my book launches in 2 weeks or my book launches in a month, because at that point a freelancer cannot do a whole lot to help you. One of my best case scenarios was like, I worked with an author named Ashley Feinstein Gersley on her book, Financial Adulting. She came to me a year before her book came out and she was like, I don't know how to do any of the things. She's like, I have an engaged audience. My email list does well. Help me build the roadmap to get this book to come out and sell this many copies. And so I built her whole marketing plan. And then month by month, I picked which things we would implement. Like, here's when we're going to pitch influencers. Here's when you're going to do your pre-order bonuses. Here's where we're going to ask your launch team. So do it more advanced than you think you need to, at least several months before your launch. The things you're most likely to procrastinate on, definitely outsource those to someone else. If it just doesn't feel exciting to you to write like Facebook ad copy or write a bunch of pitches to be on podcasts or pitch the media, hire somebody else to help you with that. So even if it only takes a little bit off your plate, it can make your book launch so much more successful in the end, because you thought about it and you tied it to individual goals that you had. Like, I want to have this many people pre-order. I want to hit number one in these categories on Amazon the first week. And that can really help you find a good freelancer. Look for somebody who has experience in publishing. Honestly, it doesn't matter as much if the experience is fiction versus nonfiction. Obviously, they're different, but they follow very similar trajectories as far as what needs to be done, what kinds of tasks need to be accomplished. I would rather hire someone who had more experience with fiction than someone who had no experience in publishing at all to come on and do a nonfiction book. So again, ask for referrals, look for people who have published their own books or who have worked on other people's books. You want somebody that has a decent sense of what works in publishing today.
So 6 months before, and outsource the things that you're going to procrastinate the most. Talking about what works today, you know, you worked on Ashley Feinstein's. You obviously have launched your own books. What is working today with book marketing? What do you recommend to authors? You know, if an author came to you today and said, you know, plan my launch, or, you know, where should I put my time and energy into marketing a book? What would you tell them?
I would say that there is never a bad time to build your own audience. So you should always be doing your own audience building, whether that's through something like a podcast, social media, an email newsletter. Really hold yourself accountable to that. Whether you have that or not, though, I'm a big fan of borrowing other people's audiences, which is essentially finding influencers in your niche. So when I did Six Figure Freelancer, I said, who are the other names in freelancing that people trust? Even if they were people who were competitors of mine, who are the coaches, the writers, the talkers, the people with the biggest podcasts, where if I could get their endorsement or I could be on their podcast or do a giveaway with their audience, I'm instantly being exposed to like thousands more people than are already in my own audience. So I like to combine those two strategies, continue to grow your own audience, start talking about your thing months and months before your thing comes out. Like you should be so sick of talking about your topic that by the time the book comes out, you're just like, oh, stop asking me about freelancing. But you'll know you've done a good job if you're like, I've spent 6 months just doing nothing but talking about advanced freelancing and hitting six figures as a freelancer. So those are some things that really helped me.
How you talked about borrowing audiences. How did you go about borrowing audiences?
Yeah, I did those influencer kits. That was big. I did giveaways with people's audiences. I was definitely on every podcast in freelancing that I could think of. I was a part of virtual summits. I would ask other people in the freelance space or in just the solopreneurship, small business space, can I give you an advanced copy of my book? Can I take your feedback on it? Those were really the key things that I did, like to think about who else maybe has already done the work to build up an audience in this space and their audience trust them. So if they come in and endorse me, or, you know, in some way positively speak about my book, I've instantly gathered their trust. So I still think that that's a really viable way to do it today. That means you need to be really, you do need to be trustworthy in your niche. You need to be known. You need to have been seen as an expert. You need to have been quoted by the media, doing the TEDx talks, doing the podcast, all those things that are like self-claiming ownership in your space.
If you're starting out not with a lot, right? Or, you know, you have a couple talks under your belt. I mean, how do you, you know, do you just have to expect a lower rate of, you know, conversion into people who accept you? Or, you know, how do you say to them, you know, I'm, or how do you provide value back to those people when, you know, they're letting you borrow their audience, or do you pay for it?
Yeah, I haven't paid for it, although you can. Like, there's definitely a component of influencer marketing where it would make sense to pay for it. I think you think about it, too many authors think about it for what they're going to get back from it. Like, hey, I want to talk about my book in front of your audience. No, the way I went about it, I would be like, hey, I've listened to the last 40 episodes of your podcast. I noticed you never talk about Upwork as a viable way to make money freelancing. I think your audience could really benefit from learning about Upwork because X, Y, and Z. So I've come in and said, here's a way for you to be even more beneficial to your audience by bringing in an expert, me, to talk about some specific thing you haven't covered before. Everybody who has an audience is interested in bringing, like being that connector and that network creator of other experts. And so look for a way that's going to be different. You're not going to, like, I wasn't talking directly about my book if I went on a podcast to talk about Upwork. So it was much more of a subtle, like, let me tell you everything you need to know to be successful on Upwork as a freelancer. And hopefully the people who liked that would go and buy my book because they're like, wow, Laura really had a lot of good tips. I can only imagine what's in the book based on what she gave away for free on the show. So think about how you can actually be of value to someone else's audience. Like, I wouldn't even bring up the book on these podcast episodes. I would let the host bring it up at the end so that it's like, literally, I'm just here to do the best I can to showcase something your audience needs to learn about and be a good resource for them no matter what. And like, every person who has an audience is always interested in that.
Yeah, I'm so excited to have you on board. You're such a wealth of knowledge and everything. Two final questions that we ask all of our authors that we have on. What didn't work in your marketing that you wouldn't recommend to people? You know, like, what is that one thing that, you know, was a waste of time or money that just didn't work?
Yeah, hiring a publicist. And like, I've seen situations where this works for people.
Yeah,
I paid a publicist $4,500 and the end result was she got me one podcast interview. In the same time, wow. I got myself 35 podcast interviews. So I was like, this is not, like, it's just too vague. I find like too many publicists are like, we're going to pitch you on stuff. That's great. I care about what I'm getting from that. Not just that you pitched 500 places. I'd rather you come back to me and say, we pitched 10 and 4 said yes, because we really put our time into those 10 and they're the 10 where it's going to be most beneficial for you. So I personally would not ever hire a publicist again for my books, because I know I can just do a better job. And it's just something I have to think about what pieces of that I can outsource to like a freelancer to help instead.
Yeah, that's so funny. That's, as you know, that's the answer we get from a lot of our authors, and even rings true for you. I think the second question is actually too similar to the first. So I think that's actually it. Do you have anything else you'd recommend for our authors, or any last bits of advice, for authors who are, you know, in the process of either planning their marketing or have released their book and figuring out what the best way to market it is?
Yeah, I would say, because this is a question that comes up all the time on our calls with authors potentially wanting to run Amazon ads, like, no matter whether you run Amazon ads or not, put the time into building a solid organic launch strategy. it will perform well on Amazon on its own. If you do that and it works and then you run ads on top of it, that's like best case scenario, because Amazon already knows your book converts. So you will never regret doing the work to have a solid organic launch. When I was working as a freelancer, too many people would come to me after the fact, like their book comes out in a week and they've done nothing. And they're like, can I run Amazon ads? It's like, Amazon ads are not going to save the fact that you did nothing else to promote this book. So it goes without saying, like, do the work to have a solid organic launch. You can then build on that with things like Facebook ads, Amazon ads, et cetera. But you can't, it doesn't work the other way around. It can't be like, let me wait until the last second and hope that some form of advertising is going to save my book. So most authors hate to hear that because they don't necessarily love marketing, but that is the job of being an author in 2024. You are a marketer, and I spend just as much or more time marketing my books than I do actually outlining and writing and editing the books. So be prepared for that. Show up to be a success, and then you have more options when your book comes out. Have you done enough to just ride off the organic sales? Does it make sense to capitalize on running some type of ads? You're just in a better position there, and it's not like a desperation thing.
We're going to have you back on as a guest. Obviously, you're going to be on as the host. Those of you that are listening, you're going to start hearing Laura's voice a whole lot more. And we might have to have you back on just to me interviewing you just to talk about, you know, the project management behind a launch. You know, it's something that I don't think I've been able to get out of anyone yet is, you know, like 6 months beforehand, what are you starting to look at? What are you starting to plan? I think that'd be super helpful. That's all the time we have for today, though. So I really appreciate you taking the time out of your busy schedule to come on and chat with our authors about how to first, how they can find a good freelancer, or if they're a freelancer in the last episode, you know, how to be a good freelancer, how to build a business being a freelancer. And then this episode talking about all of your book marketing stuff. So thank you so much, Laura.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you for listening. I know there's many other things you could have been doing during this time, and I hope you found this episode incredibly useful for you and your journey. And if you did, or if you have any feedback, I would love to hear that in a review on Apple. That would be fantastic, or anywhere else that you are listening to this show. So thank you. And if you're the type of listener that is also an author or looking to be an author soon, feel free to email me at alex@advancedamazonads.com. That's alex@advancedamazonads.com. And I'll add you to our weekly newsletter where I send out all of the best marketing tips I've ever heard from authors that I've had on this show and many of the authors that we work with. So I look forward to hearing from you if that's something you'd find useful. And either way, I look forward to having you back for our next episode.